We wish you a Merry
Bob
Christmas.
Cratchit.
We
Yes,
wish
Mr.
you a Merry
Scrooge.
Christmas.
Stop that
We
infernal cattle-ery. Yes, Mr.
wish
Scrooge.
you a Merry
Insipid
Christmas.
people, singing their idiotic Christmas carols in my very door. Go on, get away from my door. Go somewhere else and bellow your blasted carols.
Sorry, Governor. It's an old custom at Christmas time, you know.
Yes, and I don't want any of your old customs. Take your fellow fools and go away. Christmas, blah.
Right, sir. And a Merry Christmas anyway, sir. Have you a penny to spare, sir?
I said away with you.
Bye,
Good afternoon, sir. Is this the firm of Scrooge and Marley?
Good afternoon. Yes, it is.
A Merry Christmas.
Bah. Humbug.
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge, or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley has been dead 7 years. He died 7 years ago, this very night. I am Scrooge.
At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute, who suffer greatly at the present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessaries, hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
I wish I could say that they were not. A few of us are endeavoring to raise a charitable fund to buy the poor some meat and drink, and means of warmth. We choose this time, because Christmas is a time, of all others, when want is keenly felt, and abundance rejoices. As you are a man of means, I'm sure my friend and I can count on you to make a generous contribution, in the spirit of the holiday. Or perhaps you would care to make a donation, in Mr. Marley's name, on this anniversary of his passing. What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry at Christmas myself, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned. They cost enough, and those who are badly off must go there.
Good sir, the union workhouses are dreadful places, where the able-bodied are worked like beasts of burden, their dependents allowed barely enough food and shelter to keep them alive. Disease and death haunt these houses. I assure you, many would rather die than enter their doors.
If they would rather die, they had better do it, and decrease the surplus population. Allow me to remind you that it is a hard and unforgiving world. Those who make their way in it, do so by dint of labor. What I have gained, I have earned with sacrifice and years of toil. I suggest you recommend to your poor petitioners, that they employ themselves in a similar course of action. If you press me further, I tell you it is enough for a man to understand his own business, and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon.
Mr. Scrooge.
Good afternoon.
If it is aught for charity you seek, seek elsewhere. Here's none to be found.
Indeed. I am sorry to hear that. Allow me to make a donation of my own, not so much as Uncle Scrooge might well spare, but something nonetheless. The best of the holiday season to you.
Thank you very much, sir. A Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, uncle. You don't mean that, I am sure.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Come, then. What right have you to be dismal? What reason have you to be morose? You're rich enough.
Bah.
Don't be cross, uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you, but a time for paying bills without money, a time for finding yourself a year older, and not an hour richer? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmases on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding, and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Ah!
Uncle!
Nephew! Keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you. Much good has it ever done you.
There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say, Christmas among the rest. But I am sure I've always thought of Christmas time as a good time. A kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time, the only time I know of, in the long calendar of the year, when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely, and to think of people around them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave, and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good, and will do me good, and I say, God bless it.
Let me hear another sound from you, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. You're quite a powerful speaker, sir. I wonder you don't go into Parliament.
Don't be angry, uncle. Come. Dine with us tomorrow.
Never.
But one.
Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love? Ridiculous.
You never came to see me before I married. Why give it as a reason for not coming now?
Cratchit. Show him to the door.
I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why cannot we be friends?
Cratchit. The door.
I am sorry, with all my heart, to find you resolute. We've never had any quarrel, to which I've been a party. But I've come in homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Out.
And a Happy New Year.
There's another fellow, Mike Clark, with 15 shilling a week, and a wife and family to support, talking about a Merry Christmas. Idiots and fools. I'll retire to Bedlam. You, sir. You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose?
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, paying a day's wages for no work. You think it only fair, I'll be bound.
It's only once a year, sir.
Only once a year, sir? A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. Very well, go home, keep your Christmas. But mind you, be here all the earlier the next morning.
Indeed I will, Mr. Scrooge. Thank you, sir. And Merry Christmas, sir.
Bah, humbug.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
What do you want with me?
I want much of you, Ebenezer.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
You're very particular, for a ghost. All right, who were you then?
In life I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Jacob Marley? But you're dead. You died 7 years ago.
7 years ago this very night.
You are a ghost then.
What is wrong, Ebenezer? Do you not believe in me?
I do not.
You doubt your senses, Ebenezer?
Yes, because a little thing can affect them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You can't be a ghost. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There may be more gravy than grave about you, whatever you are. Bah, humbug, I tell you. Humbug. There you see. I do believe in you. You are a ghost, Jacob.
Thank you.
But why do you walk the earth, Jacob? Why do you come to me? Mercy. Dreadful apparition. Why do you trouble me?
Man of the worldly mind. Do you believe in me or not?
I do. I must. But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do you come to me?
It is required of every man, that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men, and travel far and wide, and if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world, oh, woe is me, and witness what it cannot share, what might have shared on earth, and turned to happiness. Look upon me, I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link, and yard by yard. Is it fat and strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was always heavy, and as long as this, 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain.
Ah, Jacob, all Jacob, speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give. It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers, to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. I cannot rest, I cannot stay, I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. Mark me, in life my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hall, and weary journeys now lie before me.
You must have been very slow about it, Jacob.
Slow?
7 years dead, and traveling the whole time.
No rest. No peace. Incessant torture of remorse.
Do you travel fast?
I travel on the wings of the wind.
I would think you should have covered a great quantity of ground in 7 years.
Oh, captive, bound and double ironed, not to know that any Christian spirit working kindly in its little sphere, whatever it may be, will find its mortal life too short for its vast means of usefulness. Not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunities misused. Yet such was I. Oh, such was I.
You were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business. Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but the drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business.
Oh, Jacob, Jacob, don't take on so now.
Listen to me, Ebenezer.
I'll listen to you, Jacob. You go on, Jacob, now. Speak to me, but don't be so flowery.
Ebenezer, I'm here to warn you that you have yet a hope of escaping my fate.
You were always a good friend to me, Jacob. Yes, Jacob, but go on. Go on, go on. How shall I escape? Oh, I'm afraid, Jacob.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
Is that the only chance and hope you mentioned? I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits you cannot shun the path I tread. Expect the first when the bell tolls 1.
Couldn't I take them all at once?
Ebenezer, remember, for your own sake, what has passed between us. When the bell tolls 1, look for the first spirit.
Jacob Marley. The hour itself.
Ebenezer Scrooge, I have come for you.
Ah, are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
Your past.
I wonder if you might, put a hat on.
What? Would you so soon put out, with worldly hands, the night I gave? Is it not enough that you are one of those whose passions made this cap, and forced me through all trains of years, to wear it low upon my brow?
I didn't mean to offend, what business brings you here?
Your welfare.
Well, I'm much obliged, but I wonder if a good night's sleep wouldn't be more conducive to that end.
Your reclamation, then. Take heed. Rise and walk with me.
Good heavens! I was bred in this place. I was a boy here. Strange to have forgotten it for so many years. Let us go on.
These are the shadows of things past, Ebenezer. They have no consciousness of us.
Why, it's just as I remember it. My old schoolroom, you see, and there, I am. How astonishing.
Lively there.
A solitary child.
The others have already left for the Christmas holidays.
But the school is not quite deserted yet. Look there, a boy sits reading.
It's about Robinson Crusoe and his parrot. Poor Robin. Crusoe, he called him when he came home again after sailing round our island. Poor Robin Crusoe, where have you been, Robin Crusoe? The man thought he was dreaming, but he wasn't. It was the parrot. Poor boy. I wish, but it's too late now.
What's the matter?
Nothing, nothing.
I see a tear upon your cheek. Do you call that nothing?
There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my window last night. I should like to have given him something. That's all.
Come along then. Back upstairs with you.
My trunk. I need my trunk for when I go home, sir.
You'll not be going home this Christmas, little Ebenezer. Ha 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 ha.
Perhaps there's been a mistake. I know my father.
This was not the only Christmas he spent reading here, but let's see another Christmas. Let us see another Christmas.
Fan.
Ebenezer? Dear, dear brother, I have come to bring you home, dear brother, ha 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 ha, to bring you home, home, home.
Home, little fan?
Yes, home, for good and all. Home, forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be, that home's like heaven.
For you, perhaps. But not for me. He doesn't know me or even what I look like. Same as I hardly know you now that you're quite a woman.
He spoke so gently to me one dear night when I was going to bed that I was not afraid to ask him once more if you might come home. And he said yes, you should, and sent me in a coach to bring you. And you're to be a man. And I'll never to come back here. But first, we're to be together all the Christmas long, and have the merriest time in all the world.
You are quite a woman, little fan.
Ha ha ha.
Always a delicate creature, you would have liked a wizard. But she had a large heart.
So she had.
She died a woman, and had, as I think, children.
One child.
Your nephew Fred.
Yes?
Look you at this place, Ebenezer Scrooge. A busy thoroughfare of a city, where shadowy pedestrians toss and shadowy carts and coaches battle for the way. Here too, it's Christmas. See you the warehouse door. Know it?
Know it? I apprenticed here. Why, it's old Fezziwig. Bless his heart, it's Fezziwig alive again.
Yo-ho, there, Ebenezer, Dick.
Dick Wilkins, to be sure. Bless me, yes, there he is. He was very much attached to me, was Dick. Poor Dick. Dear, dear.
Yo-ho, my boys. No more work tonight. Christmas Eve, Dick. Christmas, Ebenezer. Let's have the shutters up before a man can say, Jack Robinson. Hilly-ho. Clear away, my lads, and let's have lots of room. Here, hilly-ho, Dick. Cheer up, Ebenezer.
In a minute, Dick and I had every movable packed off, the floor swept and watered, the lamps trimmed, fuel heaped on the fire, and the warehouse was as snug and warm and dry and bright a ballroom. A fiddler with a music book tuned his instrument and started to play. Everyone came. Mrs. Fezziwig, one vast substantial smile, three Miss Fezziwigs, beaming and lovable. Six young followers whose hearts they broke, entered. All the young men and women employed in the business, one after another, and they danced. When the clock struck 11 as the party wound down, Mr. and Mrs. Fezziwig took their stations, one on either side of the door, and shook hands with every person individually as he or she went out, and wished him or her a Merry Christmas. When everyone had gone, but the two apprentices, they did the same to them.
A small matter to make these silly folks so full of gratitude.
Small?
What a sweet old man is Mr. Fezziwig.
The sweetest. Did you see him dancing with a missus, and a look on his face?
Oh, yes.
He was in heaven, and fully deserved to be.
Fezziwig spent but a few pounds of your bottle money, 3 or 4 perhaps. Is that so much that he deserves this place?
It isn't that. It isn't that, Spirit. He has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. Say that his power lies in words and looks, in things so slight and insignificant that it is impossible to add and count them up. What then? The happiness he gives is quite as great
as if it cost a fortune.
What is the matter?
Nothing particular.
Something, I think.
No, no. I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clock just now, that's all.
My time goes short. Let us look at a later Christmas. Young Ebenezer is now a grown man, released from school into the world, his father dead. A promising, independent, young man with business prospects, and every hope of happiness before him.
It is but another year, Bell. After waiting so long, surely one more year is no great thing. My apprenticeship is but lately finished, my investments still in doubtful state.
Another year, Ebenezer. When are we to be married?
Very, very soon, I promise you, my love. Only let us wait until we are sure of our prosperity.
It cannot be. It was the same with you last Christmas, and the Christmas before.
But this year will be different. Mr. Marley speaks of setting up a money-changing business in the city, in which I am to be made partner.
Mr. Marley. Oh, he is a rare man.
He is a man of business, Bell, and a very good one with sound sense. I would do well to become such a man in the world.
I do not like him, Ebenezer. He has a cold heart and an evil eye. Do not enter into this compact with him.
Mr. Marley has promised me an important position and a half share of profits. Come now, he is not such a wicked man as you think. And if he is, I follow him, but for my own gain he has no sway over my heart, as you do, Bell. What of Mr. Marley then? He shall but help us to make our fortune.
You are already more like him than you know.
Bell, I have hopes and expectations that will soon come to fruition, I am sure of it. Just another year, that is all, and then I shall feel our happiness together is secure.
Our happiness? No, Ebenezer, I see too well. Another idol has displaced me in your affections. Alas, if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, I have no just cause to grieve.
What idol could displace you, Bell?
A golden one.
You find fault with me, because I care for money. For the money to assure our happiness, our money, Bell. Oh, this is rich. This is the even-handed dealing of the world. There is nothing on which it is so hard as poverty, and there is nothing it professes to condemn with such severity as the pursuit of wealth. Too true, too true.
You fear the world too much, Ebenezer. All your other hopes have merged into the hope of being beyond the chance of its sordid reproach. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one, until the master passion, gain, engrosses you.
What then? Even if I have grown wiser to the ways of the world, what then? I am not changed towards you, am I? Let us go. I wish to see another scene.
The contract of love between us is an old one. It was made when we were both poor and content to be so. You are changed. When it was made, you are another man.
I was a boy. Let us go, Spirit.
Your own feeling tells you that you are not what you are.
These are the shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are, to what they be.
Bell.
For the love of him you once were, I release you with a full heart. May you be happy in the life you have chosen.
Spirit, show me no more. Conduct me home. Why, do you delight to torture me?
One shadow more.
No more, no more. I don't wish to see it. Show me no more.
Look, a room, not very large or handsome, but full of comfort and Christmas decorations. All is quiet. Falling snow is visible out the windows. Near the fireplace sits a beautiful young girl, nearly identical to Belle. Belle herself, our company matron, is also by the fire, sitting opposite her daughter. Gazes upon them in awe, Ebenezer Scrooge, particularly the daughter.
I saw an old friend of yours this afternoon.
Who was it?
Guess.
How can I? Tut, don't I know? Ebenezer Scrooge.
Scrooge it was. I passed his office window, and as it was not shut up, and he had a candle inside, I could scarcely help seeing him. His partner lies upon the point of death, I hear, and there he sat alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Spirit, remove me from this place.
I told you these were shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are, do not blame me.
Remove me. I cannot bear it. Leave me. Take me back. Haunt me no longer.
Think on what has passed, Ebenezer Scrooge, and know yourself.
I did right. I had no choice. Should we have married on no more than the expectation of riches? A family like Cratchit's? Impossible. I made my fortune, could she have but waited. I was a boy, a fool to care for her. Enough. I will not think on it. And yet, my nephew, Fred, poor Belle, no more. No more, I say. Were not three spirits prophesied me? What time is it now? Let me see. I must stay awake and keep a look about. Let them come. I have passed so far a strange and terrible night, and I doubt anything between a baby and a rhinoceros would astonish me.
Oh, Ebenezer Scrooge, come closer, and look upon me. I am the ghost of Christmas present. Have you never seen the like of me before?
Never.
Never walked forth with the other members of my family?
I don't think I have. I am pretty sure I would have remembered it. No, I am afraid I have not. Have you many brothers and sisters, Spirit?
More than 1,800 to date.
1,800? A tremendous family to provide for, Spirit. Conduct me where you will. If you have aught to teach me this night, let me profit by it. I went forth before upon compulsion, but I learnt a lesson, which is working on me now, and I am humbler than I was.
Come with me, let us visit a Christmas present of someone you know.
He said that Christmas was a humbug, as I live. He believed it too.
Oh, Fred.
Is that my niece, Caroline? Very pretty girl. Exceedingly pretty girl.
He said that Christmas was a humbug, as I live. He believed it too.
More shame for him. Fred, I should very much like to meet your uncle. The droll way in which you portray him makes me curious.
That's the truth, my dear. He's a comical old fellow, and not so pleasant as he might be. However, his offenses carry their own punishment, and I have nothing to say against him.
I'm sure he's very rich, at least you always tell me so.
What of that? His wealth is of no use to him. He don't do any good with it. He don't make himself comfortable with it. He hasn't even the satisfaction of thinking that he's ever going to benefit anyone with it, for I don't expect we shall be in his will. My dear Caroline, no, I don't expect so at all.
I have no patience with him.
Oh, I have. I am sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who suffers by his ill whims? Himself, always. Yeah, he takes it into his head to dislike us, and he won't come and dine with us. What's the consequence? He don't lose much of a dinner.
A good-hearted lad, Fred.
Indeed, I think he loses a very good dinner. Really, Fred, I think you're being awfully charitable.
If that's so, it may be because my mother, God rest her saintly soul, was very fond of him. She loved him.
But do go on. He never finishes what he begins to say. He is such a ridiculous fellow.
I was only going to say that the consequence of his taking a dislike to us and not making merry with us is, as I think, that he loses some pleasant moments, which could do him no harm. I am sure he loses pleasanter companions than he can find in his own thoughts, either in his moldy old office or his dusty chambers. I mean to give him the same chance every year, whether he likes it or not. For I pity him. He may rail at Christmas till he dies, but he can't help thinking better of it. I defy him, if he'd finds me going there, in good temper, year after year, and saying, "Uncle Scrooge, how are you?" If it only puts him in the vein to leave his poor clerk £50, that's something, and I think I shook him yesterday. But this is dreary talk for a Christmas party. Let's have a game.
What shall we play?
No, 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 no.
Does it live in the country?
No.
Then it lives in the city. Is it kept in a cage or on a leash?
Ha. No.
A live animal. An animal that growls and is of savage nature. Found in the city, but not kept in a cage or on a leash. Extraordinary. Is it a dog?
No.
A bear?
Could it be a bear?
No.
It was a sound guess, excellent young woman. Very intelligent.
Not a horse, or a cow, or a bull, or a tiger, or a dog, or a pig, or a rat, or a bear, and you say that walks the streets freely, not made a show of, not housed in a menagerie, never brought to market, a rather disagreeable animal.
Most perplexing.
Does it talk?
Talk.
A talking animal.
Yes.
Then I know, Fred, I know, it's your Uncle Scrooge.
Yes.
Ha 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 ha, Fred, for shame. He he ha. You might have said yes to the bear. That's not fair. When I asked, is it a mask, you should have answered yes.
Well, he has given us plenty of merriment, I am sure, and it would be ungrateful not to drink his health. I say, Uncle Scrooge. Well, Uncle Scrooge, here's to him. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man, whatever his. He wouldn't take it from me, but may he have it, nevertheless, Uncle Scrooge.
We have more to see. Let us visit another Christmas, in another part of the city.
What has ever got your precious father then? And your brother, Tiny Tim? And Martha warned us late last Christmas Day by half an hour.
Here's Martha, Mother.
Why, bless your heart alive, my dear, how late you are.
We'd a deal of work to finish up last night and had to clear away this morning, Mother.
Well, never mind so long as you have come. Sit you down before the fire, my dear, and have a warm, Lord bless ye.
Well, yes, Father.
He's been to church with Tiny Tim. He'll be home directly.
How is Tiny Tim, Mother? Any better at all?
Sometimes I think he is, and sometimes I think, oh dear God, if anything should happen to Tiny Tim.
Mother. You must not think on such a thing.
Oh, look. Your father's here.
Martha, welcome home, my dear.
Merry Christmas, Father. And you to Tim. Oh, you are a darling.
And how did little Tim behave in church?
As good as gold, and better. Somehow he gets thoughtful, sitting by himself so much, and thinks the strangest things you ever heard. He told me, coming home, that he hoped the people in church saw him, because he was lame, and it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day, who made lame beggars walk, and blind men see. He's growing stronger and heartier every day, isn't he?
Yes, dear. He is. The goose is cooked.
Not much of a goose. Let us give thanks, my dear, for this and our good Lord's many other gifts. For what we are about to receive on this blessed Christmas Day, may the Lord make our hearts truly thankful. And we are truly thankful, aren't we, children? I don't believe there ever was such a goose cooked. So tender.
And delicious.
And big.
And cheap.
It is lovely, Mother. This is a goose we shall remember for as long as we live.
Thank you, Tim. I can't stand to look at the pudding. Suppose it should not be done enough. Suppose it should break in turning out.
Suppose somebody should have got over the wall of the backyard and stolen it while we were eating the goose. Oh, a wonderful pudding! A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, no. Oh, no. Kind spirit, say he will be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, none other of my race will find him here. What then? If he be like to die, he had better do it, and decrease the surplus population. Man, if man you be in heart, not adamant, for air that wicked can't, until you have discovered what the surplus is, and where it is, will you decide what men shall live, what men shall die? It may be, that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child. Oh, God, to hear the insect on the leaf pronouncing on the too much life among his hungry brothers in the dust.
Mr. Scrooge, I'll give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, I'm sure, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. You know his, Robert. Nobody knows it better than you do, poor fellow.
My dear, have some charity. It's Christmas Day.
I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's, not for his. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
I see I am the ogre of the family.
Quite a turnout.
More than expected, matter of fact, we haven't enough funds to last until next week.
Something will turn up, I'm sure. It has been a long day. Thinking about going home to the family.
No. Thinking about selling a watch.
The watch meets but a few minutes before midnight. But spirit, I am unchanged outward. I you go markedly older.
My life is very brief, Ebenezer. It ends tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight at midnight.
Forgive me if I am not justified in what I ask, but I see something strange, and not belonging to yourself, protruding from your skirts. Is it a foot or a claw?
It might well be a claw, for all the flesh there is upon it. Look here. Go, man. Look here. Look, look, down here.
Spirit, are they yours?
They are man's, and they cling to me, appealing from their fathers. This boy is ignorance, this girl is want. Beware them both, and all of their degree. But most of all beware this boy, for on his brow I see that written which is doom. Unless the writing be erased, deny it, slander those who tell it ye. Admit it for your factious purposes, and make it worse, and bide the end.
Have they no refuge or resource?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
Spirit? Do not leave me, Spirit. Heavens! What comes here? Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come?
Look, Ebenezer.
You are about to show me shadows of the things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Is that so, Spirit?
Be patient.
Ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I have seen. But, as I believe your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, I am prepared to bear you company, and do it with a thankful heart.
Follow me, Ebenezer.
Lead on. Lead on. The night is waning fast, and it's precious time to me, I know. Lead on, spirit. Yes, I know these gentlemen, I know these men, perfectly. Men of business. Very wealthy, and of great importance. I've made a point always of standing well in their esteem, in a business point of view, that is, strictly business.
Listen to their conversation.
Well, old Scratch has got his own at last, hey?
So I'm told.
I don't know much about it, either way. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
Why, what was the matter with him? I thought he'd never die.
God knows.
What has he done with his money?
I haven't heard. Left it to his company, perhaps? He hasn't left it to me. That's all I know. It's likely to be a very cheap funeral, for upon my life I don't know of anybody who will go to it. Suppose we make up a party and volunteer?
I don't mind going, if a lunch is provided. But I must be fed. Hee-ha.
Well, I am the most disinterested among us, after all, for I never wear black gloves, and I never eat lunch. But I'll offer to go, if anybody else will.
Cold, isn't it?
Seasonable for Christmas time. You're not a skater, I suppose.
No, no. Well then, good morning.
When I come to think of it, I'm not at all sure that I wasn't his most particular friend, for we used to stop and speak whenever we met. Bye, bye.
I am rather surprised that you should attach importance to conversations, apparently so trivial.
Trivial?
They must have some hidden purpose, or else you wouldn't be showing them to me. Is that right?
What do you think?
They could scarcely have any bearing on the death of Jacob, my old partner, for his death was in the past, and this is the future. I can't help but notice that this is my accustomed corner, and I see by the clock that this is my usual time of day for being here, but I see no likeness of myself. Not that I'm surprised, you understand. You see, I've been revolving in my mind a, change of life. And I should like to think, that is, I rather hope, that my not being here is the result of my having carried out some, resolutions regarding.
Look here, old Joe, here's a chance. What I say is every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did, Lord knows.
But that's my room. What are these horrible people doing here?
Ah, now that's true indeed, Mrs. Dilber. True indeed. No man more so, and that's a fact.
What is the meaning of this, spirit? Of whom do they speak?
Very well, then. That's enough. Who's the worse for the loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose.
No, indeed, Mrs. Dilber.
If he had wanted to keep them after he was dead, the wicked old screw, why wasn't he natural in his lifetime? If he had been, he'd have had somebody to look after him when he was struck with death, instead of lying there, gasping out his last, alone, by himself.
That's the truest word that ever was spoke. It's a judgment on him.
You open that bundle, old Joe, and let me know the value of it. Now speak out plain.
This is disgusting. I can't look at this. Haven't you anything better to show me?
I always give too much to the ladies. It's a weakness of mine, and that's the way I'll ruin myself. Nah. What do you call this? Looks to be bed curtains.
Bed curtains.
You don't mean to say you took them down, rings and all, with him lying there?
Yes I do, and why not?
You were born to make your fortune and you'll certainly do it, Mrs. Dilber.
I certainly shan't hold my hand, when I can get something by reaching it out, for the sake of such a man as he was, I promise you. Joe, careful now, those be his blankets.
His blankets?
Who else's do you think? He isn't likely to take cold without backquotum, I dare say.
I hope he didn't die of anything, catching, eh?
Don't you be afraid of that. I ain't so fond of his company that I'd loiter about him for such things, if he did. You may look through that shirt till your eyes ache, but you won't find a hole in it, nor a threadbare place. It's the best he had, and a fine one too. They'd have wasted it, if it hadn't been for me.
What do you call wasting of it?
Putting it on him to be buried in. To be sure. Somebody was fool enough to do it, but I took it off again. Ha, 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 this is the end of it, you see. He frightened everyone away from him when he was alive, to profit as when he was dead. Ha, ha, ha.
Spirit, I see, I see. The case of this unhappy man might be my own, I see. My life tends that way. That is the lesson I am to draw from this poor man's fate, is it not? But let's leave this place of death. Dreadful spectre, what will you show me? No, let us leave, spirit, this fearful place. In leaving it, I shall not leave its lesson, trust me. Is there not one person in this great city who feels some sympathy and pity at this wretched man's death? Is this the end of all then? Oh, let me see some tenderness, or this dark chamber will forever haunt my vision.
And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them.
Mother,
please.
Oh, my son. My little son. I loved him so.
Oh, mother, it is almost time for father to be home. You must not let him see you crying.
You're right, Martha dear. It's just the light. The color hurts my eyes. There, they are better now. It makes them weak by candlelight, and I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father when he comes home, for the world. It must be near his time.
Past it rather, I think he's walked a little slower than he used to, these few last evenings, mother.
I have known him to walk with—
Oh heaven, Tiny Tim.
I have known your father walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder, very, very fast indeed.
And so have I, often.
But he was very light to carry, and his father loved him so, that it was no trouble, no trouble. And there is your father at the door.
Do not grieve so, mother.
Big hugs.
Good evening, my dear.
You're late, Bob.
I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone, my dear. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you will see it often. I promised him that I would walk there on Sundays. My little child. My little child, I happened to come across Mr. Scrooge's nephew, just today in the street, and he said to me that I am utterly sorry for it, Mr. Cratchit, and utterly sorry for your good wife. If I can be of service to you in any way, giving me his card, it's where I live. Now, it wasn't for the sake of anything he might be able to do for us, so much as for his kind way. It really seemed as if he had known our Tiny Tim, and felt with us.
I'm sure he's a good soul.
He is indeed. I shouldn't be at all surprised, mark what I say, if he found Peter a situation.
Only hear that, Peter.
And then Peter will be marrying and setting up for himself.
Get on with you.
As likely as not, one of these days, though there's plenty of time for that. But however and whenever we part from one another, I am sure we shall none of us forget poor Tiny Tim, shall we?
Never, father.
And I know, my dears, that when we recollect how patient and how mild he was, although he was a little child, we shall not quarrel among ourselves, and forget poor Tiny Tim in doing it.
Oh, that's cruel. Very cruel indeed. Spirit, can't you give me one ray of hope that Tiny Tim shall live? Spirit, I have been considering what I have been shown this night, and by the spirits of Christmas past and present, and I am thinking of putting into practice some changes in my life. Let me behold what I shall be in days to come. My counting house is yonder. Where are you taking me?
Look.
Merciful God! What is here? Does this belong to the wretched man of whom those people spoke? I see, by your gesture, that you wish me to approach and look upon his grave. Before I draw nearer to that stone to which you point, answer me one question. Kind spirit, are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they shadows of the things that may be only? Men's courses foreshadow certain ends, which if they persevere in, will come to that end. But if the courses be departed from, the ends will change, is that not so? O spirit, say it is thus with what you show me now. I see you wish me to know the name of this poor, unhappy man, who died without a soul who mourned his passing. No, spirit. Oh, no, spirit. Hear me. I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been but for beholding this. Why would you show this to me, if I am past all hope? Good spirit, your nature intercedes for me, and pities me. Assure me that I yet may change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in my heart, and try to keep it all year long. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Oh, tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone. Can it be? You there? I say, if you please.
Me, sir?
Yes, yes. Sweet fresh air, heavenly sky. Oh, glorious. Glorious, what's today, my fine fellow?
Today? Why Christmas Day, sir?
I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. Of course they can do anything they like. I say, do you know the poultry shop in the next street but one, at the corner?
I should hope I did.
An intelligent boy. Remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? Not the little prize turkey, the big one?
What, the one as big as me?
Delightful boy. A pleasure to talk to you. Yes, my lad.
It's hanging there now.
Is it? Go and buy it. No, no, I am in earnest. Go and buy it. Oh, and this is for you, eh? Must get ready for Fred's party. I hope you'll let me in to dine with him after all. I'll send a goose to Bob Cratchit's. He shan't know who sends it. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim. Good morning, and a Merry Christmas. Ooh, I'm as light as an angel, as happy as a schoolgirl. My dear lady, how do you do? It sends a pang across my heart to remember what I said to you yesterday in my office.
Mr. Scrooge.
Yes, that is my name, and I fear it may not be pleasant to you. Allow me to ask your pardon. And will you have the goodness to put down my contribution, or I prefer to whisper this?
Lord bless me. My dear Mr. Scrooge, are you serious?
A great many back payments are included in it, I assure you. Will you come and visit my office tomorrow?
I will. Thank you, sir.
Why, bless my soul. Uncle Scrooge.
It is I, Fred, your Uncle Scrooge. I have come for dinner. Will you have me up? Mr. Cratchit, what do you mean by coming here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir, very sorry. A bit behind my time.
You are? Yes, I should say you are. Step this way, if you please.
It's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I'm afraid I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Were you indeed, sir? Now, I'll tell you what, Mr. Cratchit, I am not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, I have decided to raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge? Sir?
A Merry Christmas, Bob. A Merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I have given you for many a year. I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family.
I don't understand, sir.
I have a great many things in mind, Bob. I understand you have a young man in your household in need of a position, and that your child, Tim, is in need of medicines. We will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas ball of smoking bishop.
Thank you, sir.
Well, come on then. Make up the fires, and buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Nothing
Happy New Year.